Morning. Today's daf in Avodah Zarah, Mem Gimel. We are in Mem Beis Amud Beis. We are starting today at the Mishnah. Let's get underway. The Mishnah starts off. Amotzi kelim ve'aleim tzuras chama tzuras levana tzuras derakon. This Mishnah falls in line with the previous Mishnayos of the third parak. We talked about finding items that may or may not be used for idol worship. So the first Mishnah talked about finding an actual tzelem, finding an idol. So you find an idol, so there is a very good chance that it probably was worshipped. And if it was worshipped, so now it's a chefzah shal avodah zarah, it's an item of avodah zarah itself, and it's also bahana. The next Mishnah that we came across on Mem Aleph Amud Aleph talked about shivrei tzelem, and you're finding pieces of an idol. This Mishnah now over here talks about finding a kli, finding a utensil with a picture of an image on it. So the Mishnah basically is going to say like this. It depends really what the picture is. Meaning kelim, generally speaking, are not worshipped, but the images on the kli, however, will give a pretty good indication of whether it was or was not worshipped, and it really depends on what the image is actually of. So the Mishnah goes on to describe. So if the kli had on it a picture of either the sun, the moon, or a dragon, so then you have to take it and you have to move it to the Yam HaMelech, you have to destroy it. Because the assumption now is that such a kli was actually worshipped. And Rishon ben Gamliel says, well, it depends on whether or not it's a kli that was used for something which was mechubad versus something which was not for something mechubad. And the Gemara later on is going to give us a clear distinction of what exactly that is, something that is or is not mechubad. In the meantime, however, let's begin the Gemara. Now remember, by the way, and we're going to make this point hopefully as clear as possible, we're not talking about drawing these pictures. We're talking about purchasing a kli that has this picture on it. And what the Mishnah is telling us is that what's an indicator? What would be a good indicator that this kli was actually used for actual worship? So the Mishnah over here really limits and says only three pictures are dead giveaways. One picture is going to be of a sun, another one's the moon, another one's a dragon. Otherwise, the Mishnah is telling us that if the kli has any other kind of picture on it, and a simple reading of the Mishnah is even the kli of a human face or a human body, that'd be fine. Meaning you don't have to assume that the kli was actually worshipped. So the Gemara says, these are the only things that they worship to. Gemara says, in terms of what they actually worship to, it's almost limitless, almost. V'rimeinu, the Gemara here quotes down the Mishnah in Chulin. Hashochet, if I shech l'shem avodah zarah, and the Mishnah over here talks about specifically what I'm shechting to. L'shem naharos. Now, we're going to be talking about natural phenomena like mountains and oceans. Now, he could have understood it to mean just simply that he's actually worshipping the mountain or worshipping the ocean. Although, if you take a look at Rashi over here, Rashi talks about sar hamamuna al ha'arim. In other words, some sort of ministering angel that is appointed over the mountains. And I assume Rashi would say that about all these other things as well. But anyway. So if I'm shechting it for any of these entities, Lushum Michal Sar Gadol, if it's to the angel, ministering angel of Michal, Lushum Shilshul Katan, or even a worm, a lowly worm. And again, the worm over here could be the Sar that's appointed over the worm, but in any regard, Hare Elu Zivche Mesim. So basically now what you've accomplished is that you've created Zivche Mesim, meaning the animal now falls under the category of Takrofis of Avodah Zarah. Please remember, in the beginning of this parak, we talked about how you could really break down Avodah Zarah into three categories. One is the Avodah Zarah Mamish, meaning the actual idol that's being worshipped. Two is Takrofis of Avodah Zarah, any animal that's offered for Avodah Zarah. And three is Tashmishe of Avodah Zarah, anything used as an accoutrement towards Avodah Zarah. So over here now, if this animal is worshipped for Avodah Zarah, so this is the animal now falls under the category of Takrovis Avodah Zarah, which is Aser Behana'a. So, where are we right now? A little bit confused. Because in the Mishnah, we learned together that the only kelim that you can buy, that you can't buy are kelim with images of either the sun or the moon or the dragon. It seems from the Mishnah that everything else is not a problem but being worshipped. On the other hand, the Mishnah in Chulin tells us that they worship more or less everything. In other words, mountains, rivers, even earthworms, in other words, everything. So Amar Abaye Miflach L'chol D'Meshkach Epache. So the Gemara says, look, in terms of what they worship, so they worship everything. Meaning nothing can go unworshipped. They can worship, they can and they do worship a number of different things. Natural phenomena, celestial bodies, etc., etc. However, Meitzar Umefalche, but over here we're talking about painting an image on a kli and then worshiping that image. So on that, it happens to be that they limit themselves. Meitzar Mefalche, Hani Tlasa Dechashiv Etzari Lehu Pachi Lehu, Lemidachrina, Lenoi Be'alma Avde Lehu. So the Gemara's response is that when you're talking about painting an image on an item and then worshiping the item, only these three things, the sun, the moon, and the dragon, is it for them worthwhile? And again, I don't speak the culture. I don't understand the culture. But for these three things exclusively, do they paint on a kli and then worship the kli? But for all other images, it's just decorative. The Gemara goes on to discuss this topic. Rav Sheshet had a habit of collecting brisas that were chumre. Chumre over here does not mean chumre like isn't strict. Chumre over here means they're difficult. Difficult brisas that were put together by Rav Sheshet, and he liked the challenging brisas. Brisas that, when you read them, they don't make perfect sense, and he brings them into the base medrash, he teaches them in the base medrash, and he makes sense out of these brisas. So here's a good example, Uktani. And he teaches the brisas, and here we are going to learn a brisa together that is slightly difficult. Here's how the brisa reads. Kol mazalos mutarim. All celestial bodies would be mutter. Now mutter meaning what mutter? So stay tuned. All celestial bodies are mutter, chutz mi mazal cham olavana, with exception to the mazal of the sun and the moon. Okay? That's part one of the brisa. Part two of the brisa. Kol partsufim mutarim, chutz mi partsuf adam. All faces of all creatures would be permitted, except for the face of man. Okay, that's part two of the brisa. Part three of the brisa, kol hatsuros mutarus, chutz mitzuros drakon. And all images would be permissible, with the exception of the image of a dragon. Okay, atkan. That takes us to the end of the brisa. The brisa is really difficult. In fact, Rosh Hashanah is going to lay out for us why the brisa is, in fact, so difficult. Amar kol mazalos mutarim chutz mimazal chamul levana. So we start with part one of the brisa. The Brisa is telling us that everything is okay, everything's acceptable, except for that of the sun and the moon. The Gemara says, what are we talking about? Are we talking about actually making the image? So the Gemara goes to point out, can't be talking about making an image. So in other words, and what the Brisa is saying is that you're allowed to basically make all celestial images, with exception to the sun and the moon. The Gemara says, but that can't be. Iba osa kol amazalos mishar vaksiv lo sason iti. Lo sason kidmush shamashai hamishamshim lefane b'mara. Okay, the pasuk says lo sason iti, right? We just saw it in Parshas Yisro. Not so long ago. We saw it in Parshas Yisro. And the Gemara understands lo sason kidmush shamashai. You're not allowed to make images that serve me b'marum, that up here in the celestial body. So, in other words, those who stand up here together with me. Now, of course, the Kadosh Baruch Hu is not centralized in any location, but in other words, from our perspective, from our perception, Kadosh Baruch Hu is b'marum, he's up in the heaven. And so, so those that are together with him up in the heaven, all the celestial bodies, the mazalos, the sun, the moon, malachi hashareis, so those are images that we cannot draw. So the Gemara says, so if that's true now, so obviously we cannot draw an image of any of the celestial bodies. So the first part of the Brisa is not talking about actually drawing, because for as far as drawing is concerned, you can't draw any of the celestial bodies. Elapshita b'motze. So the Gemara says that we're talking about motze, we're talking about where you actually are purchasing a kli with an image on it, like we learned together in our Mishnah. Oh, okay, fine. So in other words, we're not talking about drawing these images. You're not allowed to draw these images. That's fine. We're talking about buying a kli that has these images on it. And now, if that's true, the brisa actually works out very well, at least part one of the brisa. Where part one of the brisa tells us that I can buy any kli with any image except for the sun and the moon, and now you have a perfect match to our Mishnah that we just learned together. Gemara says, that's great. Let's go to now part two of the brisa. Next part of the brisa, kol partsufim mutarim chutz mi partsuf adam. You could draw the face of any creature except for the face of a man. Now, iba motze, if we're talking about buying a kli that has the picture of a face on it, parts of adam mi asur, you're not allowed. I'm sorry, you're not prohibited from buying a kli that has a picture of a human on it. How do I know that? V'atanan, because look back at our Mishnah. Hamotzi tzuras drakon yolecham li'am ha-melech. The Mishnah over here has one image which is prohibited, which is that of a dragon. Tzuras drakon in parts of Adam lo. Only the picture of a dragon you're not allowed to put on. Only the picture of a dragon that's found on a kli is a kli that you're not allowed to buy because you assume that that kli was worshipped. Otherwise, if the kli has the picture of anything on it, right? There's a mug with a picture of somebody's face on it. It's fine. It wasn't worshipped. So alapshita b'oseh. So over here, when the Bryce is talking about drawing, when the Bryce is talking about pictures of a face, it's talking about the prohibition of drawing. Uchad Rav Huna b'Rei Rav Yeshua. And the Gemara says, and this would go in line with the opinion of Rav Huna b'Rei Rav Yeshua. Now it happens to be slightly unfair. We haven't seen the opinion of Rav Huna b'Rei Rav Yeshua. You look at the bottom Rashi in the Amud. He's going to tell us that we're going to see this a little bit later on this morning. Rav Huna b'Rei Rav Yeshua tells us that when the pasuk says lo sasun iti, iti also means osi, right? Demus, making the image. Meaning, this is to the best of our understanding, we're going to say this, that we were created b'tzelem Elokim, in the image of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Now HaKadosh Baruch Hu is not an entity, it's not a physical entity. But in other words, from our perspective, from our perception, right, the way that we would, if we would view an image, it would be that of a man. So in other words, so we're talking about drawing the image of a human, which is not allowed, according to Rav Huna b'Rei Rav Yeshua. Drawing the image of any other face of any other creature would be acceptable. So here comes, let's just finish up. Iba ozeim asefa. Now let's go to part three of the Braisa. Kolatsuras mutars chutz mitzuras drakon. We're talking about drawing the images, the body images. The Braisa says only that of the dragon is going to be usher. Now we're talking about what? Ibo, so if we're talking about drawing tzuras drakon mi usher, not allowed to draw a picture of a dragon. Vaksiv lo sasun et Elohei chesiv Elohei zahav. Hani in tzuras drakon lo. In other words, you're not allowed to draw pictures of the gods, but you can draw pictures of creatures. So the creatures that live on this earth. So elapshita b'motze. So the Gemara says, so that last part of the verse is talking about buying a kli that has the image on it. Uchididnan, and again, we're going to learn our Mishnah again. Motzi kelim v'alem tzuras chama, etc., etc. So here comes now the problem. We have a brisa with three parts to it. Part number one of the brisa talks about a celestial bodies only identifying sun and moon. Part number two of the brisa talks about Part number two of the brisa talks about faces. And part number two only identifies the face of a human. Part number three of the brisa is talking about drawing pictures of creatures and only identifies a dragon. Now, what are we talking about over here? If we're talking about actual drawing, so the only part of that brisa that then makes sense is only the central part of that brisa, the second part of the brisa, the mitziasa. If we're talking about buying a kli with a picture on it, so then I understand number one and number three, but that's not number two. So in other words, what is the topic of the brisa? Is the brisa talking about drawing, or is the brisa talking about buying a kli with the image on it? And now the Gemara summarizes the problem that we just experienced. Reisha v'seifa b'motze, u'mitziyasa b'osa. So it comes out now that this brisa has the first and the third part talking about buying a kli with an image on it, and meanwhile, the middle part of the brisa is talking about actual drawing. So is it possible now that we're going to have a brisa that is so staggered, that's so choppy, that the first part of the brisa is talking about buying a kli with an image on it. Second part of the brisa is now talking about drawing. Third part of the brisa is talking about buying a kli with an image on it, meaning can't the brisa just stick to one topic? So the Gemara says, Amar Abaye in Reisha V'Seifa B'Motzei Mitziyasa B'Osa. So Abaye's answer is very simply, yeah. In other words, that's why it's called a difficult brisa. Remember, Rav Sheshes, when he introduces brisa to us, he told us it is a chumrah. It's difficult. And so, but according to Abaye, that's fine. You just simply have to understand that what the brisa is doing, it's a shifting topics. Fine. Rav Amar Kula B'Motzei. Rav says no. The entire brisa is talking about buying a kli with an image on it. And again, now, the first and the last part of the brisa makes perfect sense. It actually complements our Mishnah perfectly. The first part of the brisa is talking about you can buy a kli with any celestial body on it, except for a sun and a moon. Because again, it used to be the practice back then that they would draw the sun and the moon on a kli and worship it. And in terms of creatures, you can buy a kli that has a picture of any creature on it, except for a dragon, because again, back then, the practice was to draw a dragon on a kli and worship it. What about the middle part of the brisa? We're talking about the face of a human. So according to Rava, that too is talking about purchasing a kli. What about our Mishnah? So Rava goes on to explain. Rava Amar Kula B'motzi Mitziyasa Rabbi Yehudi Detanya Rabbi Yehuda Mosif Aftimus Menika Visar Apis. So according to Rava, the central part of the brisa is also talking about buying a kli and has the picture of a human, but a specific human. And this all goes according to the opinion of Yehuda. Meaning, in a Tosefta, we have Rav Yehuda adding to the list of kelim that you can't buy when they have a specific image for fear that the keli was actually worshipped. Not only the sun, moon, and dragon of our Mishnah, but he added also the pictures of humans. But specific humans. They have to be, let's read this again, Aftimus Menika V'Star Apis. It has to be a human which is either the picture of a woman nursing, or a picture of a minister. Now we're going to be more specific. Menika al shem Chava. The woman nursing is a depiction of Chava. She menika kolam kula, who is nursing the entire world, meaning she is the mother of all life on earth. And Sarapis al shem Yosef. And the minister is none other than a depiction of Yosef. Yosef Atzadik. She sar mapis is kolam kula, who is sustaining the entire world. Right? Vahu denake griva. Now, how do I know it's a picture of Yosef? Meaning, you and I really don't know what he looks like. At least I don't. So so he's holding in his hand a stick, but not just a stick, by the way, but it's a measuring stick. The kakayo. And with that measuring stick, he's going to be measuring wheat. Because remember, he was the minister and he was in charge of, he was in charge of the grains. And doling out and allocating grains to all the people of Mitzrayim. Vihi, and as far as going back to Chava is concerned, how do I know it's a picture of Chava nursing? So in other words, she's got to have a baby in tow, and she's going, and in the image, she's got to be nursing a baby. Okay.
I suppose actually that you don't talk about our secular culture, but actually similar to the...
Right, the, right? Sorry, some, okay, right, but that's the, these are the examples, yeah, but I mean, the time of the Gemara, these were the prevalent examples. I say, just because I say dragon, don't, you know. Darkon is some creature that was popular back then. I saying the word dragon, I like the alliteration. Yeah, in other words, it was a creature that was popular back then.
It probably is a dragon because it's still in the Eastern religion.
Right. I know. I say dragon because I like the alliteration. Dracone, dragon. It sounds good.
Right.
Yeah. Oh, they, I mean, that's what, you know. They bought into it as well. I mean, you know, it wasn't just us. Okay. Tanu Rabbanan. Ezu Tzuras Dracone. So the Gemara now is going to try to give us a better image of what a dragon looks like. And again, what we're looking at over here is, I mean, obviously we're trying to paint a picture of a dragon. I've said this already a couple of times. Like a picture over here would be worth 1,000 words. Meaning if instead of the Gemara trying to describe it to us, if the Gemara could have a picture of for us, that obviously would be much more helpful. But okay, meaning the method of communication over here is words. And so with words, we are only, you know, given a certain, you know, our imaginations have to do the rest of the work. Okay, but that's always the case when it comes to reading. Okay. Right. In other words, right. Putting a picture on would now violate Nisr. Well, by the end of today's daf, I don't know if you're going to say that. You'll see what I mean. Okay. So stay tuned. Just so you know, stay with us a little bit longer, and you'll see what I mean later on. But in the meantime, however, so we're going to be trying to describe a dragon. And again, let's just contextualize this discussion. Meaning, again, images you're not allowed to draw images. We'll be more specific about that over the course of today. We're talking about buying a kli that has these images on it. And again, these images that had kalim that had these particular images, the images are dragon, sun, moon, according to Rabbi Yehuda, a nursing woman and some sort of minister with a ruler in his hand. Not, you know, a ruler, literally a ruler. So only those kelim are actually worshipped. All other kelim are fine. And so now we're looking to describe the dragon that's drawn on the kli that would now lead us to the assumption that the kli was probably worshipped. So Ezu Tzuras Drakon, Perish Rashba, Rashi Maimon Elazar, Koshesh Lotzitzin Bein Parakav. So basically it has kind of like, now again, I'm just going to give you an image that comes to, that conjures up in my mind. Again, we're trying to describe a, you know, some dragon-like creature. So you know like the Stegosaurus where he's got like those spikes on the back? You're with me, you're not with me, it's fine, either way. Machve Rabbi Asi Bein Pirkei Tzavar. Oh, it has to go around his neck, almost like a collar around his neck. I'm Rabbi Chama, Rabbi Chinen, Halachik Rav Shimon Ben Elazar, and that's the halacha. It's funny, we're poskening over here. But again, you understand, what we're poskening is, what dragon on the kli do they worship? So I'm Rabbi Babachana, I'm Rabbi Shua, Ben Levi, Pamachas, Ha'isim Alachacha, Rabbi Elazar, Kafar, Beribi, Baderech. Gemara tells really an amazing story, Rabbi Shua, Ben Levi, walking together with Rabbi Elazar, Kafar. Bribi means that was a just a title that he was great. Umatzah sham tabas. So they found a ring, v'ala atzuras drakon. And the ring had now a picture of a dragon on it. Umatzah v'kochavim katan, v'lo amar lo klum. So part one of the story now is that the ring was, it was found, meaning it was lost and found. So it was a mitziah. So he picked up the ring, but it had a dragon on it, so most probably this ring was worshipped. Okay. And so now he takes this ring to him, and so the first person he finds is a minor non-Jewish child, and he basically skips right over that child. Okay, stay tuned. Listen carefully to the details of the story, you'll see why. So he now finds an adult non-Jewish man, and now he gives instructions, he says, look, here's the ring, here's the dragon on the ring, I want you to be mevato the Avodah Zarah. So v'lo bitlo. So the non-Jew opted not to be mevatalit. So a little bit of motivation. Sitaro, so he slapped him right across the face. Ubatla, and now the non-Jewish man said, oh, you know what? I have a great idea. Why don't I be mevato the Avodah Zarah? And in fact, that's what he does. So now from this story, Shema Min Atlaso, there are three takeaway lessons from this story. Number one, Shema Min Al V'Kochavim Mevato Avodah Kochavim Shalo V'Shal Chaveru. Now, a point we already made earlier in this parak, but let's say it again. And that is that a goy can be mevatel avodah zarah, and it doesn't even have to be an avodah zarah that he owns. He can even be mevatel an avodah zarah owned by somebody else. Obviously, the goy on the street that he found, he was not the owner of this ring, and yet he had the power to be mevatel it. Number two, a second takeaway point of the story is that yodei b'tivsho avodah kochav meshamshah mevatel v'sheinu yodei b'tiv avodah kochav meshamshah einu mevatel. Right? You notice in the story that the first person that he found in the street was a child. Child doesn't know about the Avodah Zarah. He's a child, he's a minor. So therefore, the only one who has the ability to be Mevatel is only an adult, who understands what the Gemara describes as Tiv Avodah Kochavim. Like he understands Avodah Zarah. So again, to the best of our ability. He understands Avodah Zarah, so therefore he can be Mevatel it. But the child, however, does not have the right to be Mevatel simply because he does not have a basic understanding. And finally, the third thing from the story, Shema Minah, Ove Kochav Mevata Bal Karcho. And an Ove Kochavim, a non-Jew can be Mevatel even under coercion. Which was clear from the story because the only way he got the adult to be Mevatel the Avodah Zarah is through a little bit of coercion.
It sounds like he didn't pick up the ring though, because if he did, he would have been Mekahal.
Excellent point, which also I took under consideration. And that is, remember, in yesterday's daf, we talked about the concern that first the Jew will be kone, and then once the Jew is kone, so then it can't be mevatelit. So in the story, you're going to have to add a detail of somehow there was he wasn't kone yet. Maybe he had in mind not to be kone. Maybe he didn't pick it up. Okay. Right. Okay. Right.
What's the logic behind this that a idol worshiper can don't
try
somebody else's
item? Right. Okay. A more fundamental question.
Like they're like praying to nothing. So if it's really nothing, why do we insist that they nullify?
Well, in other words, to take away the status. Meaning, once something is an avodah,
depend on them to nullify. If we don't even think they have any status.
Right. But a basic fundamental tenet of this entire perek right, is that once they worship it, so then it even if we worship it, it now has status of avodah zarah, it's asur b'ana. Meaning, even though, of course, you know, we know that it has no power to it, but it has the status of avodah zarah. It's a tenet. It's a basic tenet of this entire parak. So the Gemara says, wait one second. The Gemara is bothered by one, it's not even a detail. It really is a fundamental point, and that's the following. The Avodah Zarah, meaning I'm talking about the actual idol, in this case a ring, with the picture of a dragon on it. So the Avodah Zarah lost its way. It lost its way. Meaning it got separated from the owner. Right. All right. Right. I'll try to avoid too many Tolkien references over here. But in other words, right, we're looking for the ring, and so the ring now is we're looking, and the ring is lost. So what does that now basically indicate? Like how much power could this ring have? Now it's similar Ben to what you were asking just a moment ago. But in other words, we're talking now from the perspective of its owner. And let's take a look together at a Mishnah Bava Metzia. Here's a basic rule when it comes to Aveda. When it comes to Metzias Aveda. If you find a lost item in either a place which was precarious or a public domain, so now you can make a really safe assumption. The owner, when he discovers that, the owner of the item, when he discovers that he lost it, in the middle of the street, basically at that point in time, has lost hope in returning it. What we call in halacha simply, yeish. And so you understand now that there was yeish balim. If the ring was found, and let's assume in the story that the ring was found in a public area, so now that there's yeish. So let's now make another very simple assumption. If there was yeish, so what does that mean regarding the owner? The owner has given up hope on returning it and getting it back. And let's be honest. As far as the owner's, the owner of this ring, the dragon ring, from his perspective is concerned, like it's not, come on, I worshipped it, I served it, I thought it was really powerful. Like how powerful can it be? I'm not getting it back anymore. The yesh not only represents that he is relinquishing ownership of it, but isn't he also relinquishing the idea that it has power anymore? In other words, basically, isn't Yeish by definition also Bittul? That's basically the Gemara's question. Yeish and Bittul should be kind of synonymous. Amar Abaye. So Abaye over here gives the following suggestion. Nehi demina miyayish, miisure miyayish. Really interesting answer by Abaye. Look, in terms of relinquishing, giving up hope on getting it back, no. He's not, I'm not getting it back, you're right. The Mishnah Bava Metzia, you lose an item in the middle of the street, you're not getting it back. You know you're not getting it back, there's yesh. But in other words, the status of the item, he has not given up hope on. Why? Because look, Meima Amar, he'll say, if the next person who discovers it is a non-Jew, wonderful, let him worship it. Gesundheit. And he saw Mashkech did the Ma'ir Karim Mizavin Lalokecham Pachla. And if a Jew finds it, well, he's not going to worship it, but he could turn around and make a quick buck out of it. You understand? We're not. I know it's funny. It is funny. We're not allowed to sell it. We're talking about from his thought process. So from the Goy's thought process, like the Jew's going to turn around and sell it to a non-Jew and make a quick buck. And so basically, he doesn't lose hope on the status. He loses hope on getting back the item. But he doesn't lose hope on the status. Okay. Tananasam. The next Gemara that we're going to do together is, we saw this Gemara verbatim in the Gemara in Rosh Hashanah. Actually, I say verbatim. With a fine tooth comb, like check every line of the Gemara, whether it matches line for line. I should do it. This is the same sugya that we saw together in Rosh Hashanah. And this sugya coming up right now is going to be a discussion of whether or not you were allowed to draw pictures of celestial bodies. Meaning, remember, up until this point in time, we were talking about buying kalim from them with images already drawn on. We're not drawing the items. They're the ones who drew the items. Are these kalim now? Were these kalim worshipped? And what we learned together, basically over the course of the first half of today's daf, is that if there's either dragon, sun, or moon that's drawn on them, so then you assume that they're worshipped. Otherwise, we assume that they were not worshipped. In fact, by the way, I should have read this Rashi earlier this morning, but it's not too late. It's still part of today's daf. If you look at Rashi on the on Membeis Amud Beis, Rashi after the Gemara, Divra Amaskot Tsayiluhu Upachiluhu, Hilchach Rashi writes Hilchach Tsayiluhu Meitzer Umeflach Tsayir Sura Kedela Ovda. Sorry, I didn't mean that Rashi. Sorry. Sorry. Rashi Amar Abaye. Miflach lechol de mishkache pachi. Yeah. Umisfeka lo gazer rabbanan alayhu. Meaning, we don't know which kelim will worship them or not. So basically, every kli you buy for them is a suffix. So the assumption is that unless it's these three items, they didn't worship it. Rashi writes, the im kain ein lecha amutar. Because, look, in other words, most of their kelim had images on them. And if we say now that any kli with an image on it that was probably worshipped, we wouldn't be allowed to buy anything from them. So basically, if from the Rashi, you almost get the sense that basically the Chachamim are like, ein lecha breira. Meaning, I don't know how to say this well, but we have to assume that it wasn't worshipped, because otherwise, what else can we buy from them? So in other words, but the dragon, the sun, the moon, which again, back in those days, common to draw them and worship them. So for those items, we have to be machmir. Otherwise, any other tzura drawn in any other kli, we assume the kli was not worshipped. Fine. But now, from this point going forward, we're talking now about us actually drawing the picture. What can we draw? What can we not draw? And here we begin. The discussion starts with a Mishnah in Rosh Hashanah. A fascinating Mishnah in Rosh Hashanah. The Mishnah of Rosh Hashanah talks about Rabbi Gamliel's attic. In other words, you know at the beginning of every month, what happens is, not nowadays, not for the last 1700 years, but in other words, we would have two witnesses who would see the new moon, right? Baruch Hashem, I still get excited every time I see the new moon. You see the new moon, and then back Bizman, there was a Sanhedrin, and they were Mikadish Api Hari'iyah, which conventional thinking is that even after Churban Bayis Sheni, they were still Mikadish Api Hari'iyah, and it was somewhere around the 3rd or 4th century where they set the calendar in motion. In other words, on the track that we are continuing to this very day. So for approximately the last 1700 years, we've been working with a fixed and set calendar. But in other words, you saw the new moon, and then you went to the Beis Din, and you said, I saw the new moon. They asked you some basic rudimentary questions of what the moon looked like. And then you gave satisfactory answers to the question, and then Mekadosh Al Pi Ari'iyah, based on the testimony of the two witnesses. Rabbi Gamliel, in his attic, basically made it idiot-proof. So in other words, even if the Edom were not the most educated informed witnesses that came into his attic, so he had pictures of the moon in every phase of the moon. Thank you. In every phase of the moon. And so now he turned to the witnesses and says, what does it look like? That, and he pointed to all the pictures and the phases of the moon in his attic. And then all the witnesses had to do was just simply point to the right picture. Wonderful. Everything's wonderful except for one small detail. Right? He draws pictures of the moon in his attic. Like, in other words, celestial bodies that presumably he drew. Now, if you know the Gemara already, you know that little detail may change. But in other words, pictures that he drew. So how can he have pictures of the moon? That's where the starting point of the discussion begins. Tanan asked him, here's the mission, Rosh Hashanah, Demutzuros, Levanas, Ayil, Ola, Rabbi Gamliel, Baliyaso. Bitavla, Bikosa, was on some sort of tablet in his, on the wall. Shebehen, Mares, Ayotos. And he would turn to the, now I used idiot proof, by the way, and the Gemara kind of uses the same word, Hedyot. Hedyot, idiot, by the way, also. Nice alliteration. It's basically the same idea. I don't mean it pejorative, I just simply mean uninformed, uneducated. So the Omelem, Kazeri Item, O Kazeri Item. And he points, did it look like that? Did it look like that? So the Gemara says, and here the Gemara starts off with the basic question. Hey, you're not allowed to draw those pictures. The Pasuk says, Lo Sasuniti, and anything that shares the celestial body with the Kadosh Baruch Hu, we're not allowed to draw. We're not allowed to draw pictures of any of the celestial bodies. So here now comes answer number one, that of Abai's answer. Abai's answer is, Yeah, you know what we're not allowed to draw? We're not allowed to draw anything to scale. That's what we're not allowed to draw. But in other words, but the sun and the moon, if we could draw them to scale, so then it would be a problem. Now, it's really interesting because when I say to scale, so it's a curiosity of mine, and I really don't know the answer, but I'm going to ask the question. Are we talking about to scale in terms of how we perceive it? Are we talking about to scale in terms of what it actually was? Meaning, at the time of the Gemara and the Mishnah, did they know the actual size of the moon and the sun? You could say yes, you could say no. I happen not to know the answer to that question. But in other words, but the answer is to draw to scale. If you're just drawing a model of it, according to Abaye, that would be fine. So for let's go over a number of examples. Kid Tanya. Lo yasa adam beis tavnis hecha. Ach sadra tavnis, I'm sorry. Lo yasa adam bayis tavnis hecha. Ach sadra tavnis ulam. Chatzir tavnis azara. Shulchan tavnis shulchan. Menorah tavnis menorah. A person is not allowed to make anything in the same ratio of your house. You can't make in the same ratio as the Beis HaMikdash. And your antechamber, like the ulam, and your courtyard, like the courtyard, and the shulchan, you cannot make with the same dimensions of the shulchan, neither your menorah, you can't make out of a menorah as well. Avalosa shel, hey, shalvav, shalches. You can make a menorah if it is 5, 6, or 8 stems coming out. And as far as making out of other metals, you can't do that as well. And you can't even make it out of wood because you know when the Chashmonaim rededicated the Beis HaMikdash, so the first menorah that they made up as a makeshift, as a temp, is they made out of wood. So they say to Rabbi Yosef, Rabbi Yehuda, no, you mistook that one. In other words, they did make a makeshift menorah, but it was made out of barzel, copper,
iron.
Sorry, they made it out of iron, and they put some sort of tin, right, as a plate around it. And then they made it out of silver, and eventually made it out of gold, which was what the Torah instructs us to do, and that's last week's Parsha. So according to Abaye, the only Isser is to make it to scale, and an image of it. But in other words, if we're not making it to scale, so then it would be okay, and presumably, the moons that were in the attic of Rabbi Gamliel were not drawn to scale. That's the first approach of the Gemara. That's the Abaye's approach. To which the Gemara says, "V'shamashim sheyef shalasun k'mosim mishar v'atayin lo sasun iti lo sasun k'dmo shamshay hamishamshim alefane b'marom." So the Gemara says the Braisa here seems to say very clearly that any celestial body you're not allowed to make as a representation. Am Rabbi lo asu Torah ella b'dmus alapanem b'hadeh hadadeh. So the Gemara says no. That's only talking about making the four faces that are four faces together. As Rashi explains, Arba Panim, Penei, top Rashi on the Amud, Shur, Adam, Aryeh, Nesher, Lachaya Achas, Dugmas Chayos HaKodesh Dechsiv, Asi Hashruya Satzli. Meaning up in Shemayim, HaKadosh Baruch Hu had an image of four faces that were the Chayos HaKodesh that served in front of him. So in other words, when you're making a composite of the face of an ox, a human, a lion, and a nesher, we translate as eagle, may or may not be an eagle, either way, that is going to be asur. So, elameata parsuf adam lechudit ishtari, so alama tanya, the Gemara says, well, that's true. Making a face by itself, a human face by itself, should be okay. And meanwhile, kal parsuf os mutaris chusmi parsuf adam. Remember the brisa we started off earlier this morning with? The difficult brisa of Rav Sheshes, where in the middle of that brisa it says, you're not allowed to make the face of a human. So I'm Rav Yehuda, Berei Rav Yeshua, I'm the Pirkei Rav Yeshua, Shmi Ali, Lo Sasun Iti, Lo Sasun Osi. The Gemara says, you know, it was taught to us by Rabbi Yehuda, Berei Rav Yeshua, and he learns it from the Shir of Rabbi Yeshua, that when the Pasuk says, Lo Sasun Iti, it means Lo Sasun Osi. You're not allowed to make my image. Now again, the image of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. HaKadosh Baruch Hu does not have an image. He is not corporal. He's not a physical entity. But, in other words, from our perception, in other words, we're made b'dmus, we're made b'tselem Elokim. And so from our perception, when HaKadosh Baruch Hu, when we have some sort of sense of what his image is, it's a image of a human. And Rabbeinu Chananel also adds to this point that when a Kadosh Baruch Hu speaks to a Navi and he comes down as some image, Kadosh Baruch Hu takes on the form of a human. So in other words, so the only representation we have is that of a face. So in other words, lo sasun iti, lo sasun osi, what we're prohibited from creating is an image of a human. Aval shar shamashem shari, but all other images will be mutter. So basically, this seems to be a different answer than that of Abaye. Meaning, again, question is, Rabbi Gamliel and Nazarek had pictures of the moon. Question, we're not allowed to draw pictures of celestial bodies. So answer number one, that of Abaye, is you're only not allowed to draw when it's to scale. But if it's not to scale, so then it would be okay. And a discussion of whether or not we can construct kalim like the ones in the base of Mikdash. So the answer is to scale, no. But if it's not to scale, seemingly the answer would be yes. Seemingly. The Gemara points out, however, that the Pasuk says, Lo sasun iti, which means that all celestial bodies would be prohibited, and that would include the moon as well. The Gemara then quotes the opinion of Rav Yehuda Bereda of Yeshua, no, that Pasuk is only talking about making the picture of a human face. Meaning, that's the only celestial body that would be prohibited. But other celestial bodies would seemingly be permitted. Seemingly, this is a different answer than that of Abai, seemingly. Gemara continues now, we are on Mem Gimel Amud Beis. Shar Shemash Mishari, what about other celestial bodies? V'atanya lo sasun iti lo sasun kidmusha mashayim sham shen lefana b'maron kigon ofanim v'srafim v'chayos ha-kadosh o'malachi ha-sharis. So here in this b'raiso, now we're talking about the images of angels. Assuming that we know what an angel looks like, but assuming that we do, the b'raiso over here says you're not allowed to draw those pictures. Clearly this b'raiso now is expanding that any celestial body, seemingly, I say any celestial body would be prohibited for us to draw. Amar Abaye lo asra Torah el shamashim shemamadur elyon. The Gemara says, well, you know that there are different floors in the celestial heavens. Okay, maybe you did, maybe you didn't know that, right? And the daf references this a number of times. That in terms of our way to look at Shamayim is that basically there are seven floors. Kadosh Baruch Hu's abode, again, kaviyachol. This is just for us to have some understanding. Kaviyachol, Kadosh Baruch Hu's abode is the top floor, penthouse. That makes sense. But in other words, there are six floors, so to say, but that are beneath him, and the sun, the moon, the stars. So hopefully, I'm remembering correctly. They're in the second floor. Okay. So the So what Abai now is suggesting is, yeah, anyone who is Madur Elyon, so that we can't draw representations of. But Madur Tachton and the lower floors, that's okay. So the Gemara says, Madur Tachton Mishar V'Atanya, Asher B'Shamayim L'Rabos, Chama, Levana, Kochav, Mazals, Mimal, L'Rabos, Malach, Yasharis. So the Gemara points out that we have another Brisa, and that other Brisa says that we can't draw any of the celestial bodies regardless of floor. Kitanya ila ovdan. The Gemara says, no, we're talking about worship. The Gemara says, what? We're talking about worship? Ila ovdan afil shul katanami inachin afil shul katanami. Remember the Brisa we quoted, the Mishnah we quoted from Chulin? We said the Mishnah over earlier this morning that you're not allowed to worship anything, even shul shul katan, even the earthworm. Enichinami. We say for the Karnafka, the Tanya, Sheba arts, the Rabbos, Yamim, Venaros, Harmugvaros, Mitachas, the Rabbos, shul shul katan. So the Gemara says, yeah, but that's coming out from the next part of the Braisa, next part of the Pasuk, I should say, where you're not allowed to worship. The Asiya Gredasa Mishare. So the Gemara says, really, you're telling me that making an image of the moon would be okay? V'atanya lo sasun iti, lo sasun kidmush, shamshay, mashamshim, lefanai, b'marum kigon, chama, ulevana, kochavim, umazalos. So here the Braisa says it explicitly. In other words, and you always wonder, by the way, when the Gemara has this Braisa, you know, we're quoting so many other brises that, you know, that kind of touch on the topic, but, you know, maybe you can answer up. And eventually the Gemara quotes the brise, and the brise says it here explicitly. So the Gemara says, Shani Rebbe Gamliel, the Achim Asula. So the Gemara says, okay. So here we go, answer number one in terms of Remingham Lil's attic. The pictures of the moon, he didn't draw them. Others drew it for him. So the Gemara says, Rav Yehuda, Da'acher Masulah, Va'amalei Shmuel, Rav Yehuda, Shinana, Sami Ene Dedain. So the Gemara says, now, somebody drew an image for Rav Yehuda, and I'm sorry, yeah, for Rav Yehuda, and the Rabbi Shmuel says to Rav Yehuda, in other words, don't look at it. So Hasam bechosmo bolet umishum chashada. So the Gemara says no. That was a ring. It was a signet, and it was protruding. And the issue is an issue of chashad, of suspicion. The issue of suspicion over here, Rashi shelo yomru la hu oved. In other words, with an image that's not just a flat two dimensional image, but with an image of protruding, there is now a concern of chshad, of suspicion. So, in other words, to use it, to leave it as so that people will assume or presume that you're worshiping it, that would be a problem. To use it as a signet, meaning to seal, so that you can do. Because if the image is protruding, that means that when you are sealing with it, the image that you're sealing is going to actually be recessed. Shokea, however, if the image is not protruding, but just the opposite, if the image is recessed, where there, now you can let the image, you can actually own the image, but you cannot seal with the image. Why? Because when you seal with the image now, the image that you're creating now is going to be protruding. Okay. And then the question of whether or not we're worried about chashad or we're not worried about chashad. So we'll pause over here at this juncture of the Gemara. I know we're almost done with the sugya. But tomorrow we'll quickly finish up the sugya and give a couple of other answers for Remingham Lil on this rooftop. And I'll speak a little bit, the Rishonim here talk a little bit about halacha lamaisa, what images you can have, what images you can't have, you know, if you want to hear the details about what images are allowed and which ones are not. Okay. We'll pause over here.